still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
All righty, it is Saturday, July 23rd, 2023, and time for another edition of Blackburn 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome you all to the Trading Post this evening. I hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday and a wonderful weekend. Tonight's episode is episode number 34 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mirbailey 2. So we're very happy to have Mirbailey back with us again, and so we'll be bringing her on a second. And so before we go any further, though, tip of the hat to Mr. Mike Gaddy, the Rebel Madman. He had me on his show yesterday, and we had 2 hours of comparing data dots and hate facts and all kinds of stuff on the founding of this republic and the global issues involved at the time. And so the write-up was Mike Gaddy and Blackbird 9 dissect the founding of the nation and other major events in recent history, as well relating the psyops and full spectrum warfare against the people. So you definitely want to check that show out. We did yesterday. It's in the archives on RBN. And so our guest, Miss Mirbailey. You know, if most people know Mirbailey in the RBN world for hosting the Yours Truly show every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. That's 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. But most of us old school troll warrior veterans know Mirbailey and her meme and link quiver from the chat rooms. She was like the Annie Oakley of meme warfare when it comes to having the links posted or the meme posted before the radio host even finishes the sentence, right? So, you know, few people are faster with a meme quiver than I am, but I think Mirbailey could probably take me in a firefight. But anyway, glad she's on my side. Of course, those who really know Mirbailey know her best from the big winter storm, no internet great escape story, where the story that I heard was she actually got kidnapped by Antifa radicals and taken to their stronghold in New Asheville, North Kakalaki, but she eluded them and escaped by a tunneling through 9 miles of solid North Kakalaki granite and just had a yogurt spoon. And that was the great winter storm knocked out my internet for months story was just a cover to cover up that whole thing. But that's what really happened from the version I heard. But anyway, for the newbies, we'll be opening up the phone lines after the bottom of the hour break so you can call in and tell us what you want to talk about or if you have questions for Mirbailey. And you can call the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, because you can handle the truth. If you can listen to a show like this, you can probably handle all kinds of hate facts like we have here on RBN. So call in number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Or toll free at 800-313-9443. And as always, you can come out to the chat room at bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. And the sun never sets on the North Kakalaki Trading Post. We have people in that chat room 24/7, round the clock. And so if you're looking for the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips on independent living, come join us at bb9tradingpost.chitango.com. But if you're looking for a knife fight, we just send you go someplace else. Now, I wonder what Mirbailey wants to talk about tonight. Maybe the weather here in Blackjack Mountain. We have had beautiful weather, just threatening storms the whole time, but able to get out and actually do a lot of work and everything. And this has been really nice. And I realized after being prompted in several chat rooms that I have been negligent in my weather reporting of including the elk report. So the official North Carolina, North Kakalaki elk spotter EX96, that's Echo X-Ray 96 reporting, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain today. Repeat, no elk spotted on Blackjack Mountain today. end of official Elk Spotter transmission. Or maybe she wants to weigh in on the big Watauga debate on which was more hateful, angry black man from Atlanta Tobias M. Jones going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white drivers in his semi-tractor trailer truck in New Boone, North Kakalaki, or some kid waving a swastika flag near the Carpetbagger Chicken Swinger Clubhouse over there where they all get together for the Synagogue of Satan meeting. Or maybe she wants to talk about the grocery shopping experiences in New Boone. I just got back from New Boone, and our locally owned grocery store that I'm still allowed to shop in, being as how I'm still officially banned from the Food Lion chain, echo, 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 my options on the four open checkout lanes were angry black woman, angry black woman, angry black guy complete with pick in his fro, and angry black woman. No white staff on this shift. They must be getting double bonus ESG social credit score points for that diversity shift. Thank goodness I was able to bag my own groceries and put the things in the cart. Amazing how the concept of grouping like things just doesn't register with the diversity hires on the registers. You know that if you try to explain to them why you don't put the canned goods on top of the eggs, they will just accuse you of white-splaining, which is a hate crime in the town limits of New Boone, according to our rent-a-town council that passed that ordinance. But so I don't want to be white-splaining about groceries. I just want to get my food and be gone. Or maybe she wants to talk about that wacky Biden family and all their zaniness. What's that Hunter done now? Has he been listening to that mean old Eddie Haskell again and getting into mischief? I thought I'd gone to one of those naughty cable channels, but it was just Congress Critter MTG showing the blow-up pics of the blow-up pics on the news. So, or maybe she wants to talk about that Congress Critter Debbie Wasserman Schultz, that proud chicken swinger from Florida, who tried to censor someone who was being censored from speaking at a congressional hearing on censorship while claiming there's no censorship. I mean, come on, does her pill pull magic go up to 11 like the great Alan Dershowitz? Did he train her or she learn all her pill pull tricks at Jewish summer camp? Or maybe she wants to talk about Whoopi Goldberg and the Jason Aldean song. You know, is it true that angry black people riot and burn down cities that white people built? Are they really just looking out for their people like those evil white people living in the rural America that's in the video? Of course, old Jason Aldean had to ruin it by going all white guilt grovel and the virtue signal two-step on the latest round where he assures us he's not racist. And he's like, why not? But he most likely was acting under the advice of his Jewish owners out there in Nashville, where they wear their meanie beanies under their cowboy hats. Or maybe she wants to talk about how can Molly really fix anti-Semitism? And if so, will the same devout rabbis that sold all that ecstasy in the run-up to 9/11 who were spying all those art school students who were selling the bugged artwork and throwing all those raves and selling all that ecstasy in the run-up to 9/11, will these same learned chicken swingers be supplying the Israeli-made Molly to fight anti-Semitism? I'm waiting for Nosferatu at the ADL to give us a response to that. Or maybe she wants to talk about whether or not RFK Jr. being anti-Semitic by bringing up those hate facts about chicken swinger genetically targeted bioweapons, and how close are the 2014 Deagle depopulation projections for 2025 to what we are seeing now with the excessive deaths post-COVID. Or maybe she wants to talk about how special it was that Israeli President Herzog and all those got all those standing ovations in front of our Congress critters like barking seals, just like Bibi Netanyahu when he came after 9/11. Or maybe she wants to talk about whether or not Israel's going to collapse and eat itself in civil war before or after they destroy the rest of the world. Or maybe she just wants to talk about fishing. So, welcome back to the Snack Shack, Mirabelle, and tell us, what do you want to talk about tonight?
Wow. Thank you, Frederick. That's a lot on that menu. Yeah, the Ouroboros, right, in Israel. But let's pick on the low-hanging fruit there of RFK Jr. for a minute. And the article that really Is everything working all right? I'm hearing a hum and a buzz.
I think that's, I hear it too, but it's not bad.
Let me see.
I can understand you.
Is it better now?
That sounds better to me.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and the producer's saying you sound okay there, so.
Okay, I had TalkStream Live up, but it was muted, but I just clicked it off. I think that must have been what was interfering, maybe.
You don't have your head in the microwave oven again, do you?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I just got my ears on, good buddy.
Okay.
Yeah. So we can't hear the chickens.
So what do you think, RFK Jr.? What's going on?
You know, if you look at this, this was a New York Post article, and John Feinman, I think, was the fella, Jewish fella, that wrote the first article, and, you know, doing all kind of stuff like talking about this fart-filled feast they were having. No, something else is going on. Okay. Anyway. It's weird. So anyway, that was like clickbait for New York Post. And then they had a follow-up up article of somebody was a little more, you know, goyish, I suppose. But, you know, I don't put any hope in any of this. I like the Miles Mathis bit that if you look it up, it's under gay JFK. And it tells all about that. And that's very believable, too. But his longtime friend since childhood, Lim Billings, lived in the White House, had his own room. But he was the one that was tasked with basically bringing up RFK. Booby, as Shiva called him, to Owen Benjamin. And he got a little pretty foul there, too. But, this Lim Billings, he was kind of given, and I think a trust or something, too. Because it turns out, Booby was, one of 11 siblings, right? And, 10 at the time, I guess. His mother was pregnant when her husband died. And so what did he do? He put laxative in the milk for all these children, right? So am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Oh, okay. I keep getting this weird... so anyway, he put laxative in the milk for all his little siblings. And that was the last straw for his very pregnant mother. And so Lim Billings was given care of him. And, you know, he went off to school. And, I mean, it was a typical kind of ne'er-do-well Kennedy. You know, and he had his falcon and would go out to the garbage dump with his falcon. And his roommate said he just let it crap all over their room. And so, I mean, you know, there's just... And then when you look at who the wife is and all that, I mean, it's just more of the same kind of thing, riding on the Kennedy name and that whole thing with his uncle. That's not what we were told at all either, you know. Not unlike the abdication Lindemann said, and then after that was Edward, right, in Britain, who abdicated the throne, right?
Right.
And then we had Hitler, who... we're told committed suicide, and I'm sure he intended to. He wrote a very long note, and but Martin Bormann had him and Eva drugged and abducted. You know, they say he escaped. Well, I don't think they really had any choice in it. They took him to South America, but that was part of the trade-off for the oh-so-horrible paperclip Nazi scientists. You know, these German scientists were the booty, right? I mean, Russia got some of them. But so then,
yeah, I love how people always bring up Operation Paperclip to say, and this is proof that, you know, this whole shadow deep state is, you know, it's Nazis.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's like, okay. I don't think you really understand Operation Paperclip here.
No, right. Exactly. And there was a whole bunch of them there in Tyler, Texas at, what was that? Fort Bliss, I think is the name of it. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, and so then the third one there was JFK. So that's three for Lindemann's nods of the head, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but JFK went to visit Hitler in South America. Several presidents did, apparently. He didn't die until 1962 it was said he was 75, but if the birth date's correct, he would have been 73. So nothing is what we're told, really, except that the part that's kind of kept from us. I'm listening to Michael Gaddis with the Fellers from Colorado, and very interesting, but when he tried to see if they knew who was behind what's going on, they can see what's going on, they weren't really surprised, but they weren't ready to name the Jew either.
Right.
You know, and we can say the international duo. It does not have to be, you know, whatever. But like Henry Ford did, I mean, that's still an effect. And of course, they say he apologized, but he didn't. That was a forgery by his worker there, Harry Bennett, who it was kind of a thug that was brought on board and he kind of took over. And so he went and forged Henry's name for the lawyer. And of course, you're not going to get that reneged. You're not going to find out the truth about that either, right?
Right. Well, the part I love is in Henry Ford's brilliance, he left all the material in the International Jew 4-volume set, all those editorials, in the public domain.
Yeah.
Right. And so that is how we were able to do that wonderful series we did with Golden Pipe Wrench and Mr. Andrew Carrington and Hitchcock, is because that material was, you know, in the public domain. And so I thought that was very brilliant maneuvering on him. But that's, you know, that's part of the model that they, you know, anytime you have offended one of these chicken swingers, you know, it's, they make it a mission that you have to be brought to your knees and apologize, or your children or your children's children. And we just see this whole, you know, make them recant. And this, you know, is that part of the humiliation ritual with these people?
Mm-hmm.
And why do you think that is? We see all this stuff in history where, you know, these were court trials of, they were convicted with all this evidence, all these witnesses showing, and it's all consistent of, you know, child ritual sacrifice. This is part of that Kabbalistic black magic system. This is how it's done. It's necromancy, right? And they keep getting caught time and time again. But now they're going through, and every place that at one time actually had a trial and put them to death for this or ran them out for this, they are going back to every one of those towns and forcing the new town councils to pass ordinance, you know, saying we were wrong and that was just bad anti-Semitism, you know, all those hate facts and evidence, right? That's just anti-Semitism. So I find that fascinating. But anyway,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. I agree, you know, and yeah, you know, talking about poisoning and the Jesuits and that, and it was interesting that Robert Revolt was playing that, but Eric John Phelps, you know, I got ears to hear, and so I was looking into him, and turns out, you know, he won't have anything at all. You better not say anything about Jews, right? It's all Jesuits. And of course, who was the first Jesuit? Well, it was Ignatius Loyola, right? And he was a wounded soldier, and it seems like after Jews come out of military service, if they've been wounded, they're exceptionally rabid and vengeful and venomous, right?
Right.
For instance, Moshe Dayan, right? On early morning of June 8th, 1941, he was looking through his spyglass and a sniper saw the glint off the glass and put a bullet right down the shaft of that thing into his eye. Right. So we see him with his eye patch. So then in Erasing the Liberty, there's a copy of his order to attack the Liberty. And when was that? Oh, early morning, June 8th again, huh? 1967. I just found that curious. You know how we see dates repeating, pattern recognition, right?
Right. And yeah, this is one of the things that Europeans just don't get their head around, because we're brought up with this idea of, you know, forgiveness and things like that, you know, and compassion, et cetera. But yeah, this is a revenge culture, and you trace it back to Cain and the curse of Cain. I'll have seven times vengeance. And then Lamech, my vengeance shall be seven times seven. And so this idea of, you know, any slight It's just that becomes, you know, their reason for being is to get revenge. And you, the stories of Meyer Lansky and how ruthless he was with anybody who slighted him or got in his way, et cetera, just how he would utterly destroy them and was sending a message, right? And the Purple Gang was the same way. It's just this revenge, revenge, revenge. And you find out that, oh my gosh, they have decided they have to take revenge on all white people for our sins of running them out of our countries all those years after they had gotten thrown out of Israel, Jerusalem, in 70 AD. So, what's your take on this total revenge mindset?
Well, yeah, and Meyer Lansky, and then, all through the different ones that, and now it's Larry Mizell that is the head of the Kosher Nostra, and it's the same ancient demon that possesses them. But you remember St. Valentine's Day massacre, right? That Lansky, they sat in a garage across the alleyway from where the massacre was taking place, right? Where they shot the policeman and everything, right? Well, right. That goes back to St. Valentine's Day in 1348. And they moved the year around if you try to look for it. where they claimed to have been massacred. And actually, they were being held accountable for poisoning water all over Europe.
Right.
Okay, so they're really the poisoners. That was the Black Death. That was the bubonic plague. Okay, and exactly 670 years to the day was the fiasco in Parkland, where an awful lot of child trafficking takes place. And what happened to those children that really didn't? They weren't killed. They weren't given death certificates. Were they then trafficked? Who cares? They're gone. They're supposedly dead, right? Wow, there's some storm coming in here. Big wind just blew in.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It's actually kind of calm here for a change. Last week, I thought I was going to get knocked off the air again. I was telling the guests, it's like, yeah, if I get knocked off the air, you just take the show and run with it. I'll come back if I can. So, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying about Eric John Phelps, too. And apparently, he was a dealer in precious gems, diamonds, and things to wealthy Jews. So that's right. Why he doesn't bring them up. So.
Well, it's part of that mindset of, going through exactly what those 613 mitzvahs say, and going through the Talmud, all these years after 9/11 and realize that, they are operating a set of game rules so far removed from the Old Testament. And it's basically we have the right to do all these horrible things to you, and if you dare push back, then we have, as a group, have to destroy you. And that's, one of the things I noticed when I came out for 9/11 truth and started questioning the Holocaust. Oh my God. It's like that. If you have pissed off one of them, you have pissed them all off, And so suddenly I didn't have any chicken swinger friends anymore because, I was a bad goyim, it's just, why can't you question these things, And it's just this, mindset that they're locked into. And it at the core of it is this revenge that we have the right to do anything we think we need to do. And y'all are just cattle, and if you're good cattle, we'll reward you, graciously if you do our stuff for us that, we don't think we have to do, be a Shabbat goy, because we're all holy. We can't touch a light switch on the Shabbat, right? Or, you do our deals for us, we'll take care of you. But it's that, if you slight us at all, we are, as a system, are going to come after you. And so, how is this not in violations of things like RICO laws? Because, the RICO laws were designed to combat organized crime that was operating in multiple states, right? And, what is Judaism but organized crime now?
You there, Blackbird?
Yeah, did you?
I'm sorry, I had to run over and close the window. It was curtains were getting ready to knock a lamp over.
But, my question was, is this just organized crime masquerading as a religion that has a, genocidal endgame in place? How do you convey that to people?
Yeah, I mean, you think they maybe would get a clue now with this latest big Jew poisoning, wouldn't you?
Right. I mean, it's like how many people now, on the Fetches show this morning, he was actually going through the numbers of the excessive deaths in the various countries, and especially Germany. And you think, you know, the Germans were the number one target after they'd gotten rid of the Russian leadership. You know, they had to take out. And so suddenly Germans became the embodiment of Amalek, right? And you know, Kaufman actually printed the book in the 40s, 41, Germany Must Perish, and talks about things. And then you had the Avengers after the war that were going to poison the German water supply to take revenge on the 6 million, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how many more episodes do you have to expose people to before they realize that these people mean us ill?
And
they're
again
not
it.
Our, and I'm again it. They want us gone, and I'm again it.
Yep. Yeah. They were even with that 6 million, you know, thing too. If you look into that, they poisoned the bread for the ones that were already in prison after the war. And right. Fortunately, they got the Germans, you know, got their stomachs pumped and whatever, and no one died from it. But they don't let up, you know. So when you talk about poisoners, these are the top, okay? These are the top poisoners.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have brought it to another level in that, you know, one of the things about a poisoner is they never want to use a poison that they don't either have an antidote for or they're immune to. And so this idea of genetically specified bioweapons, you know, these vaccines that are, you know, geared to certain DNA strands to affect certain demographic groups that they are immune to. And so that's one of the other aspects of this. And you wonder why BB Nutty Yahoo keeps a trophy of a COVID syringe on his desk. You know, how messed up is that? That, you know,
well,
this is...
up.
Yeah, this is our revenge on the Goyim, just like that letter of 1489 from the Grand Sanhedrin saying, you know, make your sons, you know, apothecaries and doctors so they may take away Christian lives. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, how much more do we have to explain this?
Yeah. Yeah. So we kind of went full circle there, didn't we? Back to RFK and the little Jew's clickbait piece there about the fart fest where he's talking about the ashcans. I call them ashcans. It'll be exempt, right? You know? Oh, and the Amish, as if they're going to take any anyway, you know?
And another aspect is that, you know, Amish culture, they don't do vaccines, so you don't have sudden death syndrome, you don't have, you know, autism, and you don't have Alzheimer's and dementia. It's like, if only we could find some pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of Amish here, and, you know, I'm not real close, but I see them often enough and everything, and one young fella, you know, in the fall after their harvest, right, they'll do what they call hire a taxi, right? And you know, it's no different than getting public transportation or whatever. So they'll hire someone to drive them to where a lot of their kinfolk are, right? Like he said, they went to Indiana and break in 30 seconds. Okay. Thank you, Frank. Yeah. And there was someone there talking about vaccines. They all went to see this, you know, had this big thing where they were talking about vaccines. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting that people are starting to question it.
Yeah.
And like I said, that it broke the Mockingbird noise floor. You know, that's what, you know, shocked me, that he, you know, made the statement and it wasn't immediately covered up. You know, they just started mm-hmm. attacking him, you know, left and right for it, and demanding he apologize, etc. All right, well, I hear the music. You are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn, and our special guest this evening is Mer Bailey, and we're going to be back after these messages.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman. It ain't got no man, 'cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
All righty, we are back. You are listening to Blackburn Nine Saturday Snack Shack. I'm your host, Frederick C. Blackburn. I'd like to welcome you back to the show tonight here on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. And we're opening up the phone lines here, but if you can, you still have resource, please, please, please go out and support RBN and support the people who support RBN, because it's so important that we keep networks like this on the air. We have a big monopoly that we are trying to battle that is based on lies and half-truths and lying by omission. We're out here trying to tell the truth. So if you can, always support RBN and the people who support RBN. And again, that number to call in is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. 248-8252 or toll free 800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And Mr. Producer, could you connect us with Brendan in Massachusetts, please? Brendan, are you there? Greetings. Happy Saturday.
Thank you. Happy Saturday to Rick and Mer.
Hi. You're breaking up there a little bit.
Yep, I am. From the
I'm sorry. You are breaking up really bad. I can't understand you. Are you on a speakerphone, maybe?
Hold on. Wait a minute.
That sounded better, whatever you just did.
Okay. I'm here.
Okay.
Everything.
Yeah, try that again. So what's on your mind?
Okay. The question is something called Golden Gate 48. Do you know that?
I'm assuming that's not a malt liquor. So Golden
Gate
48.
Yes, okay. It refers to World War II history, and I know this is more Mike Gaddy, and I think you're going to be doing a show on this in about another 2 weeks, but I thought I'd introduce it for Myrrh because I know she's excellent about history and facts in general. So the question is Golden Gate 48, the idea being that the war in the Pacific would be World War II prolonged by an additional 4 years, and everybody on the ground, the Marines in the Pacific, knew this. Army in the Pacific knew this, and subsequently they were preparing to fight for an additional 4 years after the conclusion of the war in Europe, and that means they would finally get under the Golden Gate on their way back home 4 years, 1948, after 1945. So it would actually be 44 when the word was spread throughout the military, Army, Marines, Navy, that the war would be prolonged for another 4 years from 1944 to 1948, even though everybody knew the war was almost over in 1945 Europe. Myrrh, do you know anything about this?
Myrrh, are you muted?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was muted. I just looked it up. I didn't know about it. I'm looking into it now, but I do know that Dresden was holocausted after the war and some other cities,
yes.
But
what I'm wondering is the whole idea is, you know, the preservation of war never ending, going, in this case, World War II, for another 4 years. In other words, there wouldn't have been a Korean War. They wouldn't have been. It would have been ongoing. You know, everybody talks about the whole idea of dropping the nuclear bombs to end the war prematurely, but the real word was prolong the war for 3 to 4 additional years, Golden Gate 48, meaning if you survived, you would be sailing under the San Francisco Golden Gate in 1948. If you lived long enough to sail back, you would be alive, but it would be ongoing. So the war in Europe would be over 3-4 years, but the war in the Pacific against Asia, Japan, would be ongoing.
Yeah. Well, you see that date 48 again, huh? If you look, you'll see that through each century, I think starting with 1348, but maybe even before that. But also, ever since the Lieber Code from Lincoln, we've been at war, some type of emergency, some type of war continuously.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Golden Gate 48 was sort of the Korean-Vietnam War combined 15, 20 years previous. It was just never going to really be allowed to conclude in the Pacific, at least until 1948. I wonder if anybody knows anything about this.
I'll have to do some research. I was not familiar with this, but I was just doing some searching on when did Mao's, you know, revolution in China pick up? So we're looking at the Asia-Pacific theater. And so this idea was the part of the plan to tie in the Chinese purges, you know, and keep in line with Vietnam and Korea. So do you know anything if there was a Chinese tie-in there?
I don't think so. What I think would have happened is there wouldn't have been a Korean War, certainly, and probably possibly not even a 1949 China Civil War, because the war in the Pacific would have not been allowed to conclude until 1948, Golden Gate 48. Mike Gaddy might know this.
Yeah, I'll have to research that. That's fascinating. You know, that's the thing about the people who create wars. You know, they have their objectives and then how they're going to lay it out. And it's, you know, linear programming. You used to talk about linear programming. It's like, and, you know, the conclusion will be here. And when you're controlling both sides, as they, you know, the bankers often do, you know, you can make these kind of projections at that level. So I'm fascinated to learn more about this Golden Gate 48.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for the information. Yeah.
All right. I wasn't aware of it.
Thank you.
Great call.
Bye.
You have a great weekend.
Okay.
So that was interesting. Yeah, I'd never heard of that. Had you? But it, you know, seems to fit in. It's like, you know, seeing that puzzle piece, and it's like that fits. You know, it'll fit right there.
Yeah. Well, here's a meme, a cartoon, right? By the time Astoria left Philadelphia Navy Yard, shipmate Joseph Amon was drawing daily cartoons for the Astoria Morning Press news publication. Many of his cartoons revolved around the actual experience of the ship, such as this entry from 15 September 1944, the morning after Astoria sailors loaded ammunition from Fort Mifflin in near hurricane conditions. It's on that link I put in the chat there in Skype. I put it in your chat too.
Right.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, and also, you know, the tie-in of course, the big reveal with the declaration of the state of Israel in 48, and you realize, oh, this was why World War One and World War Two were fought.
You know, and what day was it? Do you remember? It was May 14th, and do you know what else started that exact same day?
What?
Rand Corporation.
Oh, very interesting. Yes, that was one of my old clients, Rand Corporation. You know, they don't call me anymore. They used to call me all the time.
Isn't that kind of weird, Rand? It's research and development, right? And then we have, what's her name, Rosenbaum, who was Ayn Rand, right?
Right.
I haven't figured out what the fascination with Rand was. Of course, then we have Rand Paul, although he's Randy, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole, you know, Ayn Rand phenomenon in her books, you know, like Atlas Shrugged and stuff, and We the Living, and, you know,
Frederick, she was charged with doing them by her, you know, she was a mistress for, I guess it was Philip Rothschild, a brilliant man, really high IQ and stuff, but she was one of his mistresses. And meanwhile, she was having an affair with a younger couple's husband and crazy stuff.
Cigarette. Oh, that's the thing with, you know, it's like the Frankfurt School. It was literally out of that Zabatean Frankist model that everybody belongs to everyone else. And, you know, the Zabateans have long been accused of both homosexuality and wife swapping, right?
Yeah.
So this idea of they're all, you know, at their parties, you know, doing each other.
And the dog. But,
yeah, and then you get into the really bizarre stuff of the Sabbatean movement. Yeah.
And, of course, the children, you know,
yes.
So it's imperative that they be amoral, not
right.
Immoral, no morals, you know, so you can never guess what they might be up to. And you see that to this day. I mean, of course, you had the Civil War, you had Judah Benjamin, right?
Right.
It was, of course, queer with Jefferson Davis. They'd walk around holding hands and Wilson was said to have been, you know, Woody Wilson was said to have been intimate with Louis Brandeis, of course, the first Jewish Supreme Court member who was put on there because he was blackmailed by, what's his name, Untermyer, Samuel. I call him Uncle Samuel Baphomet Untermyer, you know, because he was into so many of the things. He made sure that he got him on the, you know, Brandeis on the Supreme Court. So then they could have World War II, and they have the Federal Reserve, the IRS, right? And then he was instrumental in getting World War II going, too, in a big speech on ABC radio. And then he was instrumental with the Scofield Bible.
Oh, I didn't know the Scofield tie-in.
Yeah. And there's Darby Castle, and apparently they're casting spells and stuff in there, and you know, and Curtis Schofield. So it's a mess.
And that's the thing is, you know, we were talking this week in the chat room about the hidden hand symbolism from the York Rite, but, you know, where that comes from. And, you know, those original nine Templars that went and dug under the Temple Mount and, you know, and went back to Europe in 1126, you know, with all the stuff that basically laid the foundation for the Zohar and the Kabbalah and the sacred magic around the mage, you know, there's just more and more evidence that, you know, they were all flaming homosexuals and pedophiles, right? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, they, that was one of the big accusations of the Templars from the church. And there was all this, again, all this evidence, well, you know, in the trials. But yeah, now they say we were persecuted by that mean old church, you know.
Yeah, and they had the Baphomet symbol everywhere. But the fleur-de-lis, that symbol, right, of the lily, that's supposed to indicate circumcision.
The fleur-de-lis?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, because, you know, we were always taught that it was, you know, the Trinity. And that, because that was, you know, the Boy Scout. One of the Boy Scout symbols of the American Boy Scout was the fleur-de-lis.
And everything is so corrupted, you know.
It's
the undercurrent of all these secret societies working together, you know.
Well, you know, one of the things I think about is, you know, you have the symbols, and then you have people that say, we want to take that symbol and corrupt it and turn it into something different. And that's part of that Zabatean Francus, you know, Kabbalah, black magic is corrupt that which is good. So you take a good symbol and you corrupt, just like, you know, what the pride movement has done with the rainbow and the prism. You know, that's you know, natural law, and they're turning it into something abnormal.
Yeah, so. I've got a little axiom. If a picture's worth 1,000 words, then a symbol is worth 1,000 pictures and probably 1,000 years. I mean, I think that's how I did.
And then you go from the symbol into those archetypes, you know, those archetypal symbols. It's like, you know, this is pretty fundamental to our identity forever. You know, we've always had this symbol.
We got Mr. Lark, huh?
Yeah. So, Mr. Producer, could you bring Mr. Lark in, or Lark in Texas? No, Mr., just like no Miss Merbailey, no Mr. Lark in Texas. I try to keep that right. So, Lark, how are you doing this evening, good sir?
Oh, well, not too bad. Enjoying the red parquet, as usual.
Hi, Lark.
Howdy, Hattie. I am interested in this guy, I guess Brian Anderson, and his research. And I know that you were on top of that, Murr, regarding JFK. Because, you know, I'm a boomer, so naturally, I kind of think that this JFK thing, it would be useful if we could finally put this matter to rest, especially given what we've learned about history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so I keep thinking, why doesn't anybody ever mention Elohim City as, you know, regarding Oklahoma City, et cetera? And, you know, then there's also the story of Waco that I don't think has ever really been fully told. And but anyway, I just want to get y'all's thoughts on JFK, and especially in light of what Miles Mathis wrote about him being perhaps a homosexual. And, of course, this goes to, of course, JFK Jr. and now RFK Jr. as well.
I was talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any confidence at all in a political solution to, you know, as long as it's all control, and RFK Jr. is no exception. But anyway, y'all's thoughts on that? Maybe, I don't know if Frederick, you're even familiar with Brian Anderson and the work that he did.
No, I will have to look him up as well.
Oh, wow. I'll send you all the stuff on it. Here. Yeah, Brian David Anderson, that's S-E-N, and then Mark Anderson, S-O-N, has a program on RBN, got into the, you know, just to get through the information with him to see, you know, if there's anything there, and there is a there. And Brian died last November 1st. I had been after Mark to get him on again. So the last time he was on was right on 11/22/21. and it's in the archives and on the live stream, so you can see all the different, you know, things he uses to show you what went on. And there's so many strange things. But Jackie had this little white puppet, and so there was some kind of, I don't know, some kind of MK Ultra or something going on with him. And it's called My God, I'm Hit. My God, I'm Hit. Yeah. So at least one of the videos is in there. But it's interesting just to hear him talk about it and all the things he's found out. And apparently JFK was taken to a Polish-speaking area of Russia. You know, kind of like Hitler was taken, and kind of like Nicholas Romanov. Apparently he was taken to that very same place before him. And the family was dressed like Japanese. They had Japanese friends who were taken there, so the women could be kept alive to be bloodline breeders. So, you know, we're just lied to about so much. And it's interesting how Russia and the Romanovs is similar to the JFK and Americans, you know, kind of thing. It's our martyr, right? Martyr syndrome thing going on there. But on that day, and here's what's interesting, you know, we had so many people that dive into this, Fetzer and Jim Mars, and Lark has a history with Jim Mars, but he said when he was in Indian Lake Plaza for reenactment one time, that at the end, somebody went out in the middle of the street and fired a .45. So it was after he learned all this information that Brian had dug up, it made sense. See, there was another man in the back of the car that was shot and killed. So there were two bodies. Neither of them were Kennedy. The other one was Kennedy's doppelganger, Tippetts, the patrolman Tippetts that was called JFK, you know, because he looked just like him. And if you listen to... on BitChute, there's, and watch, it's JFK to 9/11, Everything is a Rich Man's Trick.
Right.
And it's a, you've probably seen it, a Brit that narrates it.
Yes.
Yeah, and he takes stuff, I guess, from Mark Lane, who was Mark Levin, who worked both into his shtick, too.
Right.
You know, but, yeah, so there were two bodies, but neither of them was him. And in the middle of that thing, there somewhere, you can hear G. Gordon Liddy saying, bragging, that he shot Tippetts in the back of the head.
Wow.
Okay. He's the one that killed him, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, all of this stuff on the Kennedy assassination, you know, remains classified. And it's like even the stuff that was supposed to be released by now, they find reasons not to release it. And, you know, it's just painstaking to try to get the original documents. But the stuff that has been released, it just, you know, paints a completely different of everything that we had been told about the entire Kennedy administration. You would think, you know, that is, we definitely got, you know, a Hollywood version of that whole presidency, and it's so hard to find the reality of what was really going on.
Mm-hmm. And you know, if they were ever to tell the real true story, they couldn't. They'd have to make something up. If what I'm saying is true, they could never release that to people. People will not believe it.
Right. That's the cognitive dissonance. No matter how much proof you had, if it's too far outside their worldview, it's just, you know, that generation's not going to listen to you. It's just like people that are emotionally bonded to, you know, 9/11. It's like they will not listen to you. But people who didn't go through the PSYOP don't have that emotional bonding, and they're more likely to actually sit down and talk the physics of, you know, this is what happened from a physics standpoint. And, you know, you can get people to listen to you. But people that have actually gone through the trauma programming, you know, that's locked. It's like a file that's been locked.
Yeah. And, you know, there again, and a lot of people like to differ with me, but, you know, I've got a lot of time here to dig through bunny holes, and I get attracted to them, and the Holy Spirit sends me looking, you know, have me asking questions of myself to go find things out. And much as people don't like it, Judy Wood being Jewish, but she is the only one really qualified to lay out the evidence and the only one that has. And you really need to see it in her book because she so meticulously went through. And a lot of it's over my head, you know, the equations and everything. But she's a structural engineer, you know. And it's just so interesting. Most people don't even know that all the buildings came down, not just 1, 2, and 7.
Right.
You know, and yes. plus an additional, the eighth building was Deutsche Bank Bankers Trust. And this is what was even in the mainstream news. It was infected, contaminated. They tried to repair it, but they had to tear it down because the magnetic, you know, electromagnetic and microwave, it wouldn't heal, put it that way, if you want to have an infection, right? Mm-hmm. It kept going bad. And the same thing when they went to put up that tower at first, it just kept turning to rust. That's one reason they have that big pool there, because, you know.
It was funny last week when it got hit by lightning. It was like, what an image of that lightning bolt hitting the World Trade Center tower that they had already had designed before 9/11. That whole thing of how, you know, they took possession of the Port Authority's, you know, racket there, and you know, just how they went in. It's, you know, someday it'll be a nice case study in organized crime and subterfuge, but as we slowly put all the dots together. So,
but the thing about My God, I'm Hit, if you really want to see, people want to, just go into RBN Archives, Mark Anderson, and go to 11/22/2021. And like I said, you'll see all the information in there. And but I'll post it in your chat room too.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
From day one, you know, with the Zapruder film, for example, you know, showing the frames out of order and all of that. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, the lone wolf gunman story is officially impossible. Yeah, you know, it's just that can't happen that way. And you have all these people that have spent lifetimes trying to say, yeah, that's physically impossible, just like Oklahoma City isn't physically impossible, the official story. Well, 9/11 is physically impossible. You know, U.S. Liberty official story is impossible, you know, that was not mistaken identity, right? But, when you have Mockingbird Media under your control, you can make reality whatever you want, right?
Yep.
And also the universities and stuff. So, but we are about to run out of time. So real quick, give you the last word about what you want to talk about and tell everybody about your show and what you've been talking about there.
Oh, well, you know, that's 2 to 3 p.m. Central tomorrow. Yours truly, Murr, here on RBN. And I've been delving into different things, but especially Jesse Sobodar, because she was in this brotherhood and coming out and reading some from her affidavits, but also how this is all tying in with the Sound of Freedom, and how every time this child trafficking and ritual satanic sacrifices starts to surface, the trafficking itself increases exponentially.
Now, that I didn't know that was a pattern. So you have more trafficking when it's being exposed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow, I didn't think that was possible.
I know. That's how evil does.
Evil does, yes. You're summoning it, I guess. You know, when you summon, was it Raising Cain? You're summoning evil. All right, well, we are out of time. You have been listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack with our special guest and good friend, Murr Bailey. And always a pleasure, and the best of luck with your Sunday show. And always appreciate everything you do in the chat rooms. And like I said, you are very quick with the meme quiver there. And we appreciate it for all your hard work all these years and all your research.
I can't beat you. You beat me on the meme quiver there. And thank you for having me on. This is fun.
All right. Well, you have a great weekend, and hope everyone has a great weekend. Until next time, and I'll see you all at the rendezvous.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.